share with you.
Welcome back to another episode of Make It Make Sense with Tomi Sojourner Campbell. This episode, we're talking about from Beyonce to the Blue Jays, safety and accessibility at entertainment events. For me, as a concert goer and a lover of going to different public events and entertainment happenings in Toronto and other parts of the country, and when I get a chance to travel outside of Canada, I am always fascinated by the different realities that I see going on before me. So for example, when I think of going to the Air Canada Centre, when I look at venues that are around the city of Toronto and in other spaces, I have come to realize that as we journey forward and we think about, you know, what makes a concert accessible, what are some of the elements of safety that one has to contemplate, particularly if you're from communities that have been historically marginalized, or if you're from communities where there may be moments and unfortunate episodes or disappointments when you are profiled, and whether it's through consumer racial profiling that happens, whether it's through acts of intersectional forms of anti-Black racism. And so I think about that when I go to concert venues. I think about that when I'm going through to sporting events and other forms of entertainment. And I came up with some thoughts and reflections, and I'd love to hear from you who are listening to this podcast, your thoughts and reflections about, you know, what do we do? How do we ensure that people feel safe? We're often confronted by the realities that, you know, in order to access these spaces, you have to go through security protocols, pat downs, use of wands, searching of your bags. And certainly those venues want to ensure that they're offering safe services. So that's part of their safety protocols and their risk management. But I would ask a couple of questions. My first question would be, why is it necessary, depending on the offering, depending on the genre of music, why there are more security protocols in place for some communities and not for others? So let me be specific. I bring this to you, you know, the listening audience, as a part of my own process and reflections. I used to work in security, so I come from that background. I used to work at the nightclub. Back in the day, they would use the term bouncer. Now they would use nightclub security. And oftentimes in my position, when I was working, if there were events that were specifically for members of the Black African descent communities, hip hop nights, reggae nights, there would be extra security protocols put in place, and we would be informally instructed, there wasn't a written policy, to conduct deeper searches. So what I mean by that, as an example, there would be not just a wand, a security wand that's used to look for metal objects or any kind of objects that might be used as weapons, but we would be also asked to do more thorough body pat downs, not strip searches. But there's an element of that. Take off your jacket, remove your belt, searching within the person's waistline, searching underneath if their chest or their breast area. And I often found for my role as a nightclub security, that was very uncomfortable. For me, I received very little training from the employers that I worked for. And I often wondered, and so as time has worn on and I've watched this happen in other venues and spaces, I would love to for the folks who are the purchasers of security services, who are the vendors who are putting on these events and the event planners, to contemplate applying an anti-racism, anti-oppression, and an intersectional trauma-informed lens to how they approach risk management in these spaces. It is so important. The idea that someone is going to, you have to consent to be physically searched, does not consider people's trauma histories with past and previous sexual assaults, violence that they may have received at the hands of law enforcement or security personnel. or a number of different things that can be triggered. Even in terms of thinking about people's spiritual practices, people's religious practices, where contact with their physical, their body is not seen as appropriate. So I think there needs to be a deeper conversation about what that looks like, and particularly to turn a lens that addresses and calls in those approaches that have biases that potentially could be biases against members of Black communities, or have covert or overt forms of anti-Black racism. I think it's important to talk about these issues on a regular basis, because certainly where I live in my jurisdiction, there are constant events happening on global, like a global scale, as well as sort of local, regional, community-based. And security protocols are often quite invasive. And so there has to be a reasonable approach, a balance. But thinking about the client rights, thinking about those folks who are from historically marginalized communities, and what the messaging is when you're, in one hand, not doing the type of physical screening other than opening a bag and saying thank you, move along, to then selectively, quote unquote, randomly searching in a deeper way folks who are from Indigenous, Black, racialized, historically marginalized communities. That practice has to stop, and we need to have concrete conversations and actions put in place to intervene. The second major piece for me is when we're thinking about going to sporting events, we're thinking about the safety of everybody involved, is access to gender neutral or gender inclusive washrooms. I can't tell you the number of times, whether I went to Ontario Place, whether I've gone to a music hall, a smaller venue, or Canada Centers being a larger venue, and trying to access gender neutral washrooms. They're often binary, so that's either the men's washrooms or the women's washrooms. There's still an unspoken, and in some cases, very outspoken, gender policing that happens. And so the fact that there may be many folks who are accessing those spaces who hold on to their need to go to the washroom, waiting until they get home or to a venue that's more inclusive for them, that is very problematic. So it is my hope that as we think about safety, I think about access to personal hygiene spaces and facilities as part of safety protocols, as part of accessibility. And quite oftentimes the large venues, even if they have a poster that says, yes, well, all are welcome, everybody's inclusive, gender inclusive space, the actual day-to-day operations of their washrooms are not safe. Not safe for everybody, I should say, clarify. And I've certainly had my own experiences of gender policing, whether being confronted before I go into the washroom, being asked if I know which washroom I'm in, being asked by security members. And so I think there needs to be a deeper conversation, because obviously in Ontario, if that's a jurisdiction that you live in, we have the Ontario Human Rights Code, which is very clear about access to facilities in terms of and not having a discriminatory experience, or making sure that that experience is free from discrimination, and gender identity and gender expression are in the among the protected grounds. And when you add an intersectional piece across looking at race and looking at other sort of social identity markers, it's important. It's important to have those conversations. And I would love to see sporting venues, entertainment venues, do a more public outreach, community-based outreach, to talk about this and to put things in place and strategies, so there is a deeper sense of belonging and safety, and having staff that are trained to understand that there are moments in time when someone's going to access a space or come up and ask them a question around, do you have gender-neutral washrooms? And it's been my experience that in some of those larger venues, the staff have no idea what I'm talking about, despite me looking at a sign that says all gender washrooms. And so there needs to be a public education piece as well, so that their other clientele have a sense of what they're being asked to do in terms of making sure that they're having, not contributing to discriminatory practices. So I think that you know, we're really well suited, at least I could speak for Ontario and Toronto, to engage in more action-oriented approaches to make those shifts, to really trouble how we think about safety and accessibility, ensuring that we are offering opportunities for people to truly be able to access their space, and to, if it's not there, if that service provision is not there, to have someone that they can talk to make those changes, and that the venue and the security businesses are open to these discussions, but open to make the changes. I think sometimes when people get called out or called in, there may be some head nods and yes, we're going to make these changes. But what I would love to see is some kind of evaluative tool put in place that actually uses an anti-racism, anti-oppression and intersectional trauma-informed approach in that tool, so that you can find out what your clients need. And but I will be, this will be an ongoing conversation that will happen on this podcast, because I think there's so many facets to safety, risk assessment, personal risk assessment, advocacy, and I would love to hear your thoughts and reflections. Again, you can reach me at info@tomisojourner.com. If you'd love to be a guest on the podcast to talk about your experience, you might be a security personnel, you might own a security business and want to talk about the things that you've done to make significant changes, so that when you deliver the services, you're delivering it from a culturally responsive and highly aware perspective. So until next time, I want to thank you for listening. And I look forward to your feedback. I hope some of you decide, yes, I want to be a guest on Make It Make Sense with Tomi Sojourner Campbell. And I'd love to hear from you. Take care.